Witnesses reported smoke rising earlier today from the president's residence in Abidjan, the main city in Ivory Coast, and there are reports that embattled President Laurent Gbagbo is now trying to negotiate a deal to leave the country, that almost 4 months after he lost an election to Alassane Ouattara. Yesterday, as fighting raged in the city, the United Nations and France conducted airstrikes on Gbagbo forces at a critical moment. This after the international community faced growing criticism for failure to resolve the political dispute in Ivory Coast and for failure to act once the standoff turned violent. NPR West Africa correspondent Ophavia Quist-Arkton has been reporting on events in Ivory Coast and joins us now by phone from Accra in neighboring Ghana. Nice to have you back.
Good to be with you again. I'm slightly the wrong side of the border, but I came out to get some cash because the banks are no longer open in Ivory Coast, and I got caught by the borders being closed.
Well, there are, I'm sure, mixed emotions for inability to be there, but I wonder, after all of this time, why do you think that the United Nations and France decided to act yesterday?
The reason the UN is giving, Neil, is that it had told Laurent Gbagbo to stop using heavy weapons in Abidjan, a built-up city, a metropolis, and targeting civilians, that his forces had not heeded this warning, and that's why the UN peacekeepers with their attack helicopters and the firepower of France, and France, the French soldiers, are in Ivory Coast under a UN mandate, although they've had a base there for many, many years. That's when they decided that yesterday they had to strike. But there's been huge pressure on the UN from the Security Council, but especially from civilians, saying, you're 11,000 in this country, you're meant to be here to protect us, but we're being killed. We're being killed, and not killed just by Laurent Gbagbo's forces, but also by the forces who support Alassane Ouattara, the UN certified president-elect of Ivory Coast.
And just on that last point, you could look at what the French and UN forces did yesterday and said, they, as opposed to what they said they were doing, but if you look at what they actually did, you could say they're taking sides.
Well, the UN has already said Alassane Ouattara is the UN certified winner, that back in November when the elections happened and during the first round, that everybody accepted it when the UN certified the elections and agreed who had won and that they'd go to a second round. So how come after the second round things should suddenly change? And the UN is in Ivory Coast and was part of this process towards elections because both sides signed up to a peace deal in 2007. So you do have Laurent Gbagbo's side saying that the UN has taken sides, that it's partisan, that it's biased towards Ouattara, that it is a party to the conflict and has even been given its marching orders. But you have the UN saying, hey, both sides signed up to this. It's not when you lose an election that you suddenly say the UN is a party to the conflict.
There was also 4 months after the election, before things got very, very violent there in Abidjan, and there was a failure to resolve this politically.
There has been comings and goings and mediation and peace broken by the African Union, by the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, the regional bloc, heads of state, former heads of state, you name it. They have all come to Abidjan to try and broker peace. That did not work. During that time, at least 300 people were killed in different parts of the city, not to speak of the Wild West, as it's called, the troubles in the western part of Ivory Coast. I think everybody has come to the conclusion that Laurent Gbagbo has been given a chance. They feel, and it's not just the West and the so-called international community we're talking about, African leaders, his fellow African leaders in the region and on the continent saying, you have to step down. You lost this election. Alassane Ouattara won. So everybody, I think, felt that they had tried the way of dialogue and negotiation. It had failed. And after the UN Security Council said last week that that it was going to beef up the mandate of its troops in Ivory Coast, this is what we see has happened. Abidjan has never actually seen a war. It saw rebels trying to strike back in 2002, but it has never lived through what it has lived through the past 2 weeks or so. The heavy weaponry, people describe, residents and civilians describe their windows, their doors, their whole houses shaking because of the heavy weaponry. The UN said that's enough, And I think that's why they went in yesterday. Whatever reasons other people may think, that's the reason they're giving, and that's the reason they're sticking to.
You mentioned France has a base in Ivory Coast, its former colony, Côte d'Ivoire, and they also took over the airport near Abidjan.
That's because of the evacuation of foreigners. As you know, the French military are actually very good at that. I've witnessed it in the Republic of Congo, the small Congo, Congo-Brazzaville, the French evacuating when there were problems across the border in the then Zaire, the Democratic Republic of Congo. And I think that is why the French Licorne soldiers have taken over the airport, to make sure that they can get people who need to be evacuated. French citizens amongst them, I believe 12,000 plus in Abidjan, out of the country. Now, Laurent Gbagbo says France is responsible for this problem, that France has declared war on him. Because when we heard his foreign minister, Alcide Djédjé, talking to the BBC, he was in the French embassy. And the BBC asked him, well, why are you going to the French embassy if you want to talk about a ceasefire? And Laurent Gbagbo's government spokesman, Awa Dommelo, said it's because France declared war on us. France was the one that led this attack on us yesterday. There is this antagonistic relationship between France and the former colonies that was Ivory Coast. And there are very, very strained and very bad relations between France and Alassane Ouattara and Laurent Gbagbo. I beg your pardon. Laurent Gbagbo has asked France and the UN peacekeeping force to quit the country. They said, we're here because the UN says we should be here. We're staying.
There was also another force involved, and you mentioned ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States. At various times, they threatened to intervene with military forces and eventually did nothing.
Very early after the disputed election, ECOWAS, as it's called, the regional bloc, threatened to use legitimate force if Laurent Gbagbo did not step down and relinquish the presidency to Alassane Ouattara. But the West African leaders then blinked. And everyone who knows about Ivory Coast politics will say that is exactly what Laurent Gbagbo thrives on. He's a serial staller. It has taken him 5 years to get to elections. The whole process has been drawn out. He was elected first in 2000, and his first mandate ended in 2005. It was 6 years now. 6 years and 5 years until the election. So if you allow him any room, his critics say, that's what he'll do. He can just spin things for months and months and months. And I think after 4 months, everybody was saying, well, actually, this is too long. But the quid pro quo is that you have civilians now having been terrorized by both sides, by both armed groups of these two presidential claimants, these men for whom this tug of war has lasted 4 months, saying, we are the ones suffering. We are the ones who are caught in the crossfire, and we are the ones dying.
And for many years, you've had not just the West African states, but indeed the African Union and every leader in Africa saying, we don't want foreigners to come here and intervene. This is our business. Now, you've done enough in the past. We will deal with the future.
There is that. African solutions to African problems. But because the UN peacekeeping force, it's not a new force. It's not as if it's suddenly come in and it wants to take out Gbagbo, though, of course, Gbagbo's camp says that's exactly what it wants to do, along with the French. But the peacekeeping operation has been in Ivory Coast for a very long time. And it managed to maintain a ceasefire for, 6 years, was it? So it's not when the UN suddenly the UN certifies your presidential challenger as the winner of the election that you suddenly turn around and say, well, the UN is not an impartial force, and it has taken sides against you. But, you know, Neil, these are just some of the problems. These are sort of the immediate problems that we see because of the fighting, because of the violence and so on. But Ivory Coast has huge problems that it'll have to overcome. This is a country that has been divided now since 2000, the rebellion, the northern half of the country from the south up to the north, controlled by the former rebels who are now the Republican forces that support Alassane Ouattara, and the south, which was controlled by Gbagbo. Issues of identity, who is an Ivorian, who's not an Ivorian, who can vote, who cannot vote, all those issues have to be grappled with. Those are the ones that are now on the back burner because of this presidential tug of war, this presidential power struggle that has dominated politics here for the past 4+ months.
And indeed, you had an election which was supposed to legitimize one man or the other. Now, after a very violent period in which both sides have committed, caused the deaths of hundreds of civilians, at least, will Mr. Ouattara be delegitimized, or at least have his legitimacy challenged if he takes power?
I'm afraid so, Neil. Even if he does become Ivory Coast's new president, it's going to be a really rocky road. Many people say, point to Alassane Ouattara and say, you were behind the rebellion of 2002. You were the person who helped to bring trouble to Ivory Coast. They haven't swallowed that, and many people are still critical of Alassane Ouattara. Now, they're going to look at what has happened in Abidjan over the past couple of days and the past few weeks and say, you bring trouble to this country. You have brought war, you have brought troops, you have brought forces, you have brought violence. And is it because of your love for power, whether or not you won the election? There are a lot of people now saying that they've got to sweep out this whole political class in Ivory Coast. Laurent Gbagbo, Alassane Ouattara, Guillaume Soro, the young man who was first Gbagbo's prime minister and now Ouattara's prime minister, and who is the head of what were the former rebels, now called the Republican Forces. And on Gbagbo's side, Charles Blé Goudé, who is head of the so-called Young Patriots, this militant group that supports Gbagbo, that all these people and Henri Konan-Bédier, a past president, must all be swept out, that it needs to be somebody new, fresh and neutral who will truly bring reconciliation to Ivory Coast.
We're talking with Fabia Quist-Arkton, NPR's West Africa correspondent, as dramatic events unfold in Ivory Coast. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Fabia, with all of that as background, we see a situation in Abidjan today where Mr. Gbagbo, the former president, the man who lost those elections 4 months ago, is apparently huddled in the basement of the presidential palace there. And, well, depending on who you listen to, either negotiating a plan to leave the country or fighting on in defiance.
I think fighting on in defiance will be on hold because his military chief, the head of the armed forces, the head of the gendarmerie, which is the paramilitary, and the Republican Guard have gone to the UN and asked for a ceasefire, saying they have told their troops to lay down their weapons. So I think the fighting has ended for now. That is a first step, and it means that Ivorians can breathe, which is really important. Been barricaded in their houses, trapped in their houses, without water, without electricity, without food, and of course many, many children as well. That is a start. But I think what comes next is how, and that's why it's probably taking so long, how you negotiate Laurent Gbagbo's departure. Is he going to agree formally and in written form to hand over power to Alassane Ouattara as the elected leader? Is he going to decide that he wants to leave the country? All these things are being negotiated now. We're told that he is in the bunker of the presidential palace, which came under fire from the attack helicopters by the UN and French troops. And I think that probably did the trick. Because you may be in a bunker, but how long can you even remain in a bunker if you're under fire?
And we heard from the French foreign minister, Alain Juppé, speaking in France, that Mr. Gbagbo will be required to sign a document surrendering power if he is to be allowed to leave the country.
Neil, I reckon that's what's taking so long, because what we're told from the Gbagbo camp, by the Gbagbo camp, is that he wants negotiations, he wants to sit around the table, he wants to meet Alassane Ouattara as an equal. But the negotiators, I'm sure, are going to say the time has passed for that. You've had 4 months to do that. We've been trying to bring both sides together around the table. It hasn't happened. Now we're negotiating your surrender is a big word, isn't it? We're negotiating your departure, and it has to be on the grounds that, I'm guessing, this is pure conjecture by me, it has to be on the grounds that you are relinquishing the presidency and handing over formally to Alassane Ouattara. So the negotiations are, if not lengthy, I think they're going to take time, and so that everybody understands that this is a seal, signed, sealed, and delivered, and we aren't suddenly going to go back to fighting in Abidjan because somebody isn't happy with whatever's agreed.
And if it plays out this way, as we think it will the UN action and the French intervention be seen as decisive?
Will it be seen as, please repeat that, Neil?
Decisive, the thing that tipped the balance.
Yes. Oh, yes, I think so. On both sides, whether you agreed with it or whether you disagreed with it, I think it's going to be seen as a tipping point, a turning point, and absolutely pivotal to end especially the killing, the violence against civilians. Because in all of this, it's the civilians, the Ivorians, ordinary Ivorians, and not just Ivorians, West Africans from all over the region who either settled or work in Ivory Coast, even some foreigners, have been killed, that it's ordinary people, unarmed civilians, who have taken the brunt, who have borne the brunt of this conflict, and who have said, enough is enough. This has to stop. We want just to propel this nation. We want to live normal lives. We want to reconcile with one another. We want peace. We want unity in Ivory Coast. And the politicians are letting us down because of poor leadership, which is a problem not just in Ivory Coast, but in other African countries too, Neil, as you know.
Ophébia Quist-Arkton, thanks as always for your time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Ophébia Quist-Arkton, NPR's West Africa correspondent. More on the situation in Côte d'Ivoire later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow, former U.S. Poet Laureate Billy Collins joins us on the art and business of poetry. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.